Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Lord, and thank you for all that you're doing for us. We thank you for even fighting our battles, Lord. We know that we can't lose as long as we believe you and do what you ask us to do. And I thank you, Father, that the battle's already won. The war's already won. And all we have to do is just have the faith to believe, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you for the victory, Father God. Glory be to God for the victory, not only in the fellowship, but also in my life. In Jesus' name, and each individual life that's out here too, in Jesus' name. Because we know that we're never alone in a battle. It's always you right there by our side. And I praise you and I glorify you in all that you do. And I thank you, Father, for binding up all the enemy from even coming near us tonight while in this fellowship. Nobody will have any problems staying on the internet, doing whatever it is that they want to do. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Bandwidth is going to be excellent tonight in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father, for the open heaven that you've given us too. That when we pray, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our prayers are answered because you've given us all the faith that we need. You said the faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain to the sea. And I believe it. I thank you for it, Father, because it doesn't take much faith. It just takes trust in you. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. You gave us authority over all, not some. You said all the power of the enemy. And we exert that power right now in the name of Jesus and command you to stand down from this fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. It is done. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Bonita, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everyone. My good friend's daughter, she's a freshman in high school, and they were over this weekend, and she just called me, and she said, she called me again today. She said she's going to take her daughter to the doctor because she's got a lot of acne. She's a freshman, you know, so that happens, but it's really bothering her mom more than it is her daughter. But she was, you know, saying she's going to take her to the doctor and see what they could do. And so I said, well, I've got a great God. I can pray. You want me to pray for him? He does great things. And she's like, yes, yes, please pray for us. Please pray for her. So Lord, I just lift up Annika, and Lord, you just are going to do wonders in her life, Lord. Just, oh, they've tried to read the Bible, tried to understand it, Lord, and you're just going to open their minds and their hearts to that too, Lord. And you're just going to clear up this acne, all this infirmity in her. Just cast it down, Lord. We cast it down. You've given us the power to do so. And I just do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Benita that this young lady is healed in the name of Jesus. And to your glory, Lord, we thank you for it. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Can y'all hear me okay? My volume okay? All right. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
We'll have a testimony first and then a prayer request.
Okay.
I asked several of you to pray for me because my sciatic nerve was really sore and hurting me yesterday. And and Julie made the statement, and that had crossed my mind, that it's real retaliation for the warfare I've been doing, you know, on behalf of my husband here lately. And the Lord's been showing me stuff. But anyway, so that and another area of pain and inflammation, and it was so... Because of all it was so hard for me to just sit and be still. It was just giving me a lot of pain. And so I knew Michael was in the prayer meeting with the locals there. And so I text text him and ask him to pray, and you know, pretty much said what I told you, just told y'all. And I think it was around 10 o'clock. Finally, it just broke, and I felt so much better. And like, and when I got up this morning, you know, I felt so much better, even more better, you know, just other things that were going on with me. I mean, like major inflammation went down. I was like, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And anyway, so I even went and rode my bike today. Thank you, Lord. And it didn't bother me at all. It actually felt good. Praise you, Jesus. But but later on this morning, after I was up for a while, I just felt this tenseness coming in my back and trying to give me a headache. And I was like, ah. And I was just taking that as just another attack of the enemy, you know, retaliation. So I got Merle to agree with me. And after a while, it went away. And praise you, Lord. But now the enemy is trying to put it back on me. So I want you all to agree with me. In the name of Jesus, I don't receive this. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I don't receive any attacks. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I cast down all witchcraft in the name of Jesus and all curses in the name of Jesus. I will not back down in the name of Jesus, and I will continue to do the warfare that I've been doing, because I know my husband is set free in the mighty name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for healing me, setting me free, and doing the same thing for my husband. I praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I see angels flying around in the fellowship. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Go ahead, Samuel.
I wanted to share a testimony of healing for me. Oh, and obviously the attack's been abated. So we've been hit with witchcraft a few days. I had migraine attack and tingling and feeling faint, and it went away for a bit and then come back, and the enemy was really trying to get me down. And with the prayer with David and Michael, and just staying in that faith, just knowing the truth and the victory, man, I feel so much better. All glory is his. It's like the oppression just left. And then as I was praying, and I found a verse how Archangel Michael contested with Moses' body with the enemy, and he just simply said three words: Lord, rebuke thee. And man, that's just stuck with me today ever since. So our faith, our prayers, our getting knitted together. Wow, it's so blessed. I'm so blessed. Praise God. Thank you, God, for this wonderful family we got. And it's all yours, Father. It's all your victory. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Samuel. Anybody else? Yeah, Claire. Get right back to you, Marilyn.
Hi. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you, Samuel. That's so encouraging. So yesterday I was making lasagna, and the meat sauce was bubbling up to the point that it's never bubbled like that before. And it just sprayed out and it hit my hand. And I was like, I mean, I was listening to the Bible. I was praising the Lord. I was just having a normal day. There was like nothing stressful or anything about this time. I was like, I just said, Lord, rebuke you. Like, like exactly what you just said, Samuel, but I burnt my finger. My finger got so burnt. And then I remembered Marilyn's testimony about getting stung with that yellow jacket or whatever it was, that insect in your bathroom a couple of weeks back. And I was like, well, Lord, this doesn't need to burn. It doesn't need to hurt me. And I prayed over it, and I just went to go put a plaster on it so I could just get, or a Band-Aid, as you would say. And I just put a Band-Aid on just so that I could continue doing the things that I needed to do in the kitchen. And it was really sore, but I kept on saying, like, no, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to accept this. And then in about, it must have been about 10 minutes, I realized I didn't have any pain at all. There's a beautiful blister on my finger, but no pain. Like, thank you, God, that I could just get through the rest of the day and there was no pain. And thank you for the saints who share their testimonies, because in these moments of trials, that's it, right? Like, you think of the verses and you think of the testimonies and it gets you through. So I'm just so grateful that we can all share together. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, quite lovely blister on my there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your complete healing. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn. I'm sorry, Marilyn. I forgot you had yours up.
That's okay. I just have a testimony too. Boy, the enemy really likes to get us in the kitchen, Claire. This was the day before yesterday. We live in an old house, which we really like, but it's about 100 years old and it has a little bitty kitchen. And I just have this tiny little counter by the stove where I'm trying to plate up everybody's food. And so I had some pans on the stove that I was serving out of, and I laid my arm on one of them, a baking sheet. And so anyway, I burned my arm. And so when Barry was saying grace over our food, you know, he thanked the Lord for healing my arm. And then I went upstairs and I was taking a bath, and that really made it start hurting more. And he showed up and he said, I came up here to pray for your arm. He prayed for me, and It took a while, but then the pain just went away. But the amazing thing is the next morning, it's just totally gone.
Amen. It was just gone.
So praise God. I'm very, very thankful, and God can do amazing things. Praise God.
Yes, he can. Praise God. Yes, he can. He sure can. I burnt my arm the other day too. Cooking chicken, and I was bringing it out, and I just laid my wrist down on the tray that you pull out, and it hurt, but I just commanded it to go, and it went. But like Claire, I had a blister, but there was no pain. It was kind of odd, but praise God. Yeah, go ahead, Claire.
I'm just going to pray, Michael, against us in the name of Jesus. Lord, the only fire we accept is your holy refining fire, Lord. And the only fire we look forward to is the fire on judgment, because we are aligned with righteousness because Christ lives in us. And I rebuke every single burn demon or spirit that is trying to come on us and cause us pain and cause us anxiety and stress while we are preparing food for the ones that we love and the ones that you love, Lord. I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for no more cooking mishaps in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All the recipes get the right ingredients too.
And no falling knives and no bouncing knives and no stabbing knives.
And no, amen.
We are not at war with our kitchen utensils, Lord. We serve our families humbly. We are only at war against the enemy. Amen.
Amen. Boy, sometimes those utensils can be an enemy, can't they? But they're not in Jesus' name, not anymore. All right. Sometimes it does look like a war zone in there when I get through. Go ahead, Missy.
What came to my mind is
I know it's been a long time since this happened to me, but no cans dropping and falling on feet either, because that hurts.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. That does hurt if you do it. I was kind of waiting on Debbie to come on, actually. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. No more kitchen accidents. No more any kind of accidents in the home. In Jesus' name, we're just going to, your angels are round about us. They're keeping us from stumbling anywhere, stumping our toe on the rocks or whatever comes up. In Jesus' name. All right. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, you know, we're also going to come against the nickname of blisters. You ever heard that before? People will say, hey, they say it's at work all the time. It's the blister because he shows up after the work's done. You ever heard that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, as always. Okay, I figured you probably have. That sounded terrible. I meant it well. It was a funny joke. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So, something happened to us yesterday, and that's why I wanted to share. So y'all remember how I had issues on the property where there are people, cutting down our trees and all that? So we went on the other side of our property, and there was actual bulldozer trails and our trees cut down. I was like, my gosh, what is going on? And they've done a lot of work, just a lot. But it's right on the edge of our property, and it was the people who just bought that property, but they came too far and got a hold of my property. And you know, that stuff really bothers me, like really, really, I don't like it. So I had to make some phone calls to find out who it was and finally got to the root. And I tried to contact the realtor who sold the property. And I was able to have a conversation with him. It's the same realtor that sold me my property. But now at this point, he's trying to avoid me. And that's typically how it goes. You know what I mean? That other guy's probably got, he does have a lot more money to throw around. So I was kind of frustrated, and I was laying in bed last night, and I kept on waking up about it. And I was like, man, I wish they would just stay off. I wish people would just quit tearing our property up, man. But here's what's weird though, at the same time, I wasn't as bothered by it as I was the first time this happened to me when I shared it with you guys. Cause I felt like, okay, I could have handled that better. What am I doing wrong? And Marina even mentioned that. She goes, okay, Isaac, it's happening again. What do we need to do this time right to make it not happen? So we only got to thinking about that. And I woke up last night, and when I woke up, it was crazy. It's like, I don't know, man, like the Lord put up in my heart. I woke up thankful. And I'll tell you why. Like, I just had a dead sleep. I woke up and I said, Lord, thank you for my healthy children. Like, getting that so much more important, you know, and health and all that, and, you know, our lives, and thinking about, you know, that I don't have to worry about those things. Like, what's a little bit of property? It's really no big deal. What's a little bit of trees? It's really no big deal. I mean, look, if the government wanted to take it, they can. They could just say I didn't pay my taxes. You know what I mean? If I'm not supposed to be here or I'm supposed to go, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, I just thanked the Lord last night for keeping my family healthy, and I moved on. And today I won't, it did kind of cross my mind a few times, but I was able to really kick it out of my mind. But everything's squared away. I don't know. It's kind of it's more or less kind of a testimony that it just really doesn't matter. It's not a big deal, man. And I don't know. I just want to thank the Lord that he did give me another opportunity. I better get it right this time or else I'm going to have no trees left. So anyways, just want to share it.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Benita.
Man, Isaac, I just listened to the fourth chapter of How Shall We Die. You should listen to that. It was really good, and it just hits right where you're talking about an experience that David had with a guy at work and how he handled it. So you should listen to that again. But anyways, I just had a confession. I didn't get anything in the kitchen, but I was just had a rough day with my dog the other day, and you know, he peed and then he pooped and then I stepped in the poop in the house. It was so gross. Then he peed again. I mean, he's not been doing this. He's been so good. And then that day it was just an attack at the head, and I was so upset. And I wanted to, you know, do things that I wanted to do. My friend was coming over and I wanted to go to the lake with her just by myself and just do all these things in the flesh. And I was really upset with Frank, and I didn't say anything to him, but in my mind, I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, why did he have to get this dog? I'm like, no, you know, I do. I love this dog, but sometimes, you know, it's like, why? And then I just was brushing my teeth and I was like, wait, you know, we prayed about this. We all prayed and we asked that the Lord just not have Frank want to get a dog. And here I have a dog and nothing comes to me but through the Lord. So I can't be mad at Frank. And I just have to, it's putting my flesh to death. And it's so like stubborn I am. I just want my way. And so praise the Lord that I have this puppy and he's so sweet and I just love him to death. But, and I don't need to do all these things that I want to do. It's what the Lord wants for me. So I just want to praise the Lord and confess and repent for any thoughts I had against my husband. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Claire.
So I would like prayer, please. Because there's a dog next door. And I'm wearing thin. Like, it just doesn't stop barking all day. So my dog, the thing has been in trauma. I've prayed for it. Rian's prayed for it. We've gone over there. We've done what we can. But I'm talking like, it doesn't, the sun doesn't shine at the best of times, but then to be woken up by a dog, like not even by artificial light, but by a dog, like what is that? And I'm thinning a bit on that. So I told the dog this morning to go to its room. I said, go to your house. This is unacceptable behavior. And it barked back at me. And I said, don't you dare bark back at me again. And it went to its
room. A conversation with a dog.
I know. I hear how crazy that sounds now that I'm saying it out loud. But could you all just pray for me, please, for patience. Yeah. And that I bless this dog. And Lord, please just heal this dog's heart, Lord. Because it had, or whatever it is, Lord, I know it's gone through such trauma. And Father, I pray that you bring the previous owners of this dog's hearts to repentance, Lord, for whatever they did to this dog that caused such damage. But Lord, I know how you heal. I know the freedom of deliverance, Lord, and I pray that deliverance over this dog right now in the name of Jesus. I pray deliverance over this dog. Please, Father, bring this dog a spirit of peace. Let it be part of your redemptive creation, Lord, and not the fallen. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for this dog. Lord, we thank you for giving that dog peace in his heart every time he comes around to Claire and the kids, that he won't bark, that he'll just laugh at him. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for keeping that dog's mouth quiet in the neighborhood, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Lord can do that. I saw a beautiful dog today. I was out walking over at the park, and years ago I had a golden retriever, beautiful dog, good duck hunter too, and it brought back memories of my dog. I took that dog down to Louisiana and somebody stole it while it was down there, while I was down there. But I never saw that dog again. He wasn't very old at the time either. And he was a good duck hunter. I did a lot of duck hunting back then, but anyway, that's a long story. All right, anybody else? Hey, Debbie, did you get my text? I can tell you didn't.
No, I didn't see a text. Sorry.
That's okay. We'll go ahead and play a song. Yeah. We'll go ahead and play a song.
Will you let me share my screen?
Oh, I got to do that. I forgot. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Too high, no valley too low, there's no fear.
Praise you, Father. Yeah. Woohoo! How many of you know praise gets the enemy out of your house? It gets the enemy out of your life when you're praising. Matter of fact, we got a word from Debbie, from the Lord, about Thursday night's praise, and she would like to share that with us.
I'm trying to find it still.
It's on the blog.
Well, I know, but I'm not coming across it. I thought I had it, and then it flipped, and others came up, and I can't get back to it.
It's a good one.
I'll break in again when I find it, okay?
Okay, that'll be fine. Okay. Thank you. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay, did everybody get my email this afternoon? Pat, did you look at your email? Okay. Anna got it. Matt, how come you didn't get it? Did you look at your email? Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. Anyway, tonight's subject, and it was given to me by someone who had seen some things that were going on in the 2023 Grammys. Some very satanic things were happening in it. But there were Christian musicians involved in it also. And I thought we'd just take a look and see what kind of a what should we do when we find these types of things happening in the music world where they, I think money is a big factor and notoriety also, in my opinion. They like that notoriety and they give it all up for that. And anyway, I'm going to open it up. Anybody wants to, I will say this, one of the bands that I saw in that thing that was sent to me was Maverick City. Yeah, Missy.
Was it a video you were sent?
It was YouTube of the Grammys, like I told you. It was, you know, I said the 2023 Grammys had some stuff, and that's where you had to go to look for.
Well, I didn't. There was only this one video I saw of just this guy singing this song, and it was very satanic. And I started to watch it, and I was like, nah, I ain't watching it. It was just the images was enough.
Well, sure, yeah.
But I'm just wondering if there was like some special like performance that was satanic that a lot of Christians were involved with it. That's what I was wondering. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I was like you. I didn't get a chance to look at the whole thing. I didn't really want to, but I'm not much of a Grammy type of guy, but I did see some names that were involved in that Grammy performance. In the 2023 Grammy performance. And if you have a satanic type of theme for the Grammy Awards, you know, that's something that you ought to think about.
My thought on the whole thing is I think there's a lot of, whether it be in music or movies or any kind of entertainment or anything in the world, Christians have this thought that, you know, being in the midst of it, that maybe they can have an influence. And
that's not what the Word of God says, though.
I know, exactly. Evil companionships corrupt good morals, and just the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the vainglory of life is not of, you know, of God, but of the world.
Look at all the people that started out in the Christian music world and ended up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can name a half a dozen right now.
And another thing that's come to me is you know, they love the glory of man rather than the glory of God. You know, they want to be patted on the back of man, and it's so sad, and they're so deceived. So that's just some of my thoughts on it.
Well, and I saw the name Brandon Lake up there too. He was in the Grammys. So go ahead, Andrew.
Well, what I did was I went to my concordance and I looked up the first place worship is mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 5, this is when Abraham's taking Isaac to his sacrifice. And it says there, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide here. Abide ye here with the ass, and I will take the lad and go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. Now, I don't really think they were going to go into a song there or a worship song, but when I saw the first verse in Matthew in the New Testament, the law of first mention, I haven't done this in a while, and that's Matthew 2 and 2. And this is pretty early in the book. And it says there, this is the three wise men. Where is the one born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And so I just wanted to put these verses down because there's actually no song being sung here or a worship song. These Gentiles that came there, you know, they wanted to come and worship a king. In the case of Abraham here, he was going to do something which is a huge type and shadow for us today with his son Isaac. So I remembered what it said in John 4. Over there in John 4, there's quite a bit of this stuff in John 4 and 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And that know there is a light, a glory, and in spirit. So we worship the same way too. And if you read 23, it says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For even such the Father seeketh, for even such the Father seeketh as his worshipers. God is spirit, and who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You know, since I had my concordance open, I went to the last verse of the New Testament, and it's in 22 and 9, and it says, and he said to me, see, not so. I am fellow bondman, bondman with an A, of thee and thy brethren and prophets, and them that keep the words of this booklet, worship God. And he was going to fall down before him, the Apostle John there, He almost did the same thing in Revelation 19:10. You know, I was told that we go into our altar for prayer, for worship, and for thanksgiving, and just even to talk to the Lord. And that's in Hebrews 13 and 10. But in Romans 5 and 1 and 2, you know, it also mentions this altar of grace wherein we stand, you know, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by that faith, we have access unto his grace wherein we stand. And that's the altar of grace where we go and pray and worship. I think it's a very special thing that this worship we do with the Lord. It's not just to have a song and dance, you know, like you can go get any music to do that with. The significance of where it was first mentioned is usually how it's supposed to be considered through the whole Bible, what happened there with Abraham and what happened there in the book of Matthew. So I just said these verses just to see if anyone would have comment on these kind of things, you know. You know, there is the one where he says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. See that you do this not, for I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, and which is a good verse to contradict those who have the letter of prophecy. So I just picked out a few of these verses to show you. You know, it is probably true that sometimes the worship music would touch someone's heart, made them maybe bring them back to some sort of time where they may have been stagnating with the Lord and want to go back to it, you know. But is that an emotional thing, or is it something that you do to honor and reverence the Lord? You see, there was going to be lots of worship there for Isaac and Abraham, you know, especially after they found the ram in the that was tied up there, and they realized what happened. And Abraham realized what happened, and so did his son, you know, that he was spared from doing this, and another sacrifice was provided. And praise God for that type and shadow. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Rayon.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I was thinking of while Andrew was talking about it, I haven't looked at this a lot, right? But I was, when I saw that 2022 Grammys pictures and things like that of this, most specifically, it was Sam Smith that they've been promoting, and he was doing all these, openly satanic ritual that they were doing at the show. I mean, we've always known that these kind of music awards and things like that is, you know, completely satanic, I would say. And it's been like that for decades. So there's nothing new. But it's becoming more and more openly and openly satanic, you know. So when you're sitting, people are sitting in the audience, they are not unknowingly participating, because I think it's very obvious that when you're there, that you're participating. Sometimes it can be hidden. But I was reminded of the three Hebrew children who was called out by Nebuchadnezzar to ask to bow down, because the word worship means to bow down. That's what worship is to bow down on your knees. And actually, it's bow down and kiss the ground. It's to lie prostrate, and that's what the word worship is. So when you asked to, when Nebuchadnezzar asked everybody to bow down, I think they probably weren't the only three Hebrews there, they were just the only three that did not bow down. And they were thrown into the fire because of it, and they were protected. And I've no doubt that some of these musicians probably started out very inspired, maybe some of the original stuff that Maverick City has done or whoever else, it doesn't matter, was Holy Spirit inspired, but then get involved with money and notoriety, like you said. And at that point, I think they're so far gone that they would sit through a satanic ritual like that and then bow down to that, because not bowing down means you cannot go on stage, accept the award or anything like that. And it's very similar, I think, to what the Bible tells us to get out from among them and be made separate. When we look at some of the churches, we talk on here probably a lot about apostasy and apostate churches and so forth. And what's very difficult is that a lot of the music that we listen to comes from the very same apostate churches that we talk about on here. So we've got to be very careful. I think we have to have just discernment on it. And what's happening is, I think, because it's becoming so overtly or in your face satanic, it is really testing whether these guys are really following the Lord, or if they're following, you know, the other master, that they're following Mammon. So we are called, according to the word, to come out from among them and be separate and touch no unclean thing. And I think in the same way, we as a family do that every now and again. We have to cull out and cleanse out some of the music that's crept in and look at it. And we often look back and go, wow, I can't believe we listened to those guys, or, you know, but I think it's not to be under condemnation. I think it's just take stock of what it is, like Matthew and the worship guys, Chuck and them, to just take stock again, look at the psalm book and go, all right, which ones of these are actually praising God? What is the spirit behind this? Just because of the words and because they are, it's Christian, does not necessarily mean it's from the same spirit that we're at. And I think, like in a group like us here, we expect each other, and when we share, and when we share music, or we share words, or we share dreams, or anything, or revelations, or something, that we have checked the spirit. We've made sure that it is from the Lord. Because so we're always speaking as oracles of God, because speaking and singing is would be the same thing. So that's, I don't think it's to go into the details of the Grammys or that. We don't really care about that, but it is very, very telling. And then that, so for instance, if you say Maverick City and it goes, well, there's a lot of good popular music that they've made that's out there. And my question would be, can we still listen to that or not? Or should we then completely almost boycott it, right? And not listen to it and not share it, which might be difficult. Or do you just take it song by song? Because I think you probably, if you start doing that, you would start filtering out quite a lot. You know, there's big names like Bethel and Elevation and all of those things that's put out such amazing music, and a lot of it that we love. But they are all linked to huge, massive apostate, you know, false prophetic or whatever you want to call it, churches. Do we throw all of it out? Just sing the old hymns, even though some of the old hymns you could probably even apply some discernment to as well. You know, that's what I would be interested to hear what the rest of the guys say about that.
Well, let me tell you a little bit of experience we've had here with people that were not right with the Lord in our band years ago. The music that comes out from these people are the spirits follow them. And if you're listening to it and enjoying it, I can tell you this much, you will be having some problems. When we had a faction with a musician, after he left, we had cleanup job that was nonstop for a few days because of the impartation of the spirits that came out from his music. Now that sounds kind of crazy, but I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about because we, David and I, prayed for a lot of folks during that period of time because the music itself imparted the demons. They could ride on the music. And so that's that what Rion was talking about is absolutely true. We have to limit ourselves to understand. And I like a lot of that music. I do. I love, you know, the Elevation City stuff, but it's not of God in the sense that you've got people on there that are worldly. And I don't know. I'm just telling you our experience here, what happens when you get people in there that are...
And someone in the fellowship saw demons flying around too.
Yep.
During that time.
Yep. So it's not a, it's something we need to, if we want to. Now, having said this, I want to let Debbie go ahead and give her what the Lord spoke through her about Thursday night's worship, Thursday night's praise. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, sure.
Take it away, girl.
Okay. la, la, la. No. Okay, our praises still resound. My people, who I exalt and joy over with singing and rejoicing, with my thousands of angels who have joined you in glorious praise unto me this night, my voice breaks through the sound of your praises and the sound of the praises of my holy angels. For my holy people, your praises, even at this moment, are still resounding through all the corridors of all of heaven with the angels and all the saints throughout the ages who also stand before my throne, giving praise unto me continually. And with one accord, they too are rejoicing over you with singing because of your pure sacrifice of praise to me. Your praise this night has broken through much enemy territory and has weakened much of the plans against so many of my people. But your weapons of warfare through praise in all things with the unwavering faith of who you are in me and me in you must continue daily. Don't stop. Let your faith in what I do through your praises ring out, for your praise is a mighty weapon. It has done this night what you did not realize, but now you do, for many of you have been healed and delivered, and your praises have released upon you more anointing and more still to soon come, preparing you and giving you the vision of my coming to be glorified in you. It is not far off, my children, for your praises that glorify me have moved me and will continue to move me to hasten my coming. Believe me when I tell you that it is soon. Many signs of prophecy are coming true, are pointing to my coming. Pay attention as you pray and praise me. I am faithful. Be faithful. Your praises always toward me, always believing in me. Amen. Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, for that encouragement that you've given us on this outreach. And I praise you, Father, that we will. We're going to press in with our praises and keep it going, too. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God, and we praise you, Father, for that encouragement for everybody. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. That was awesome.
Amen. You're welcome. Thank you, God.
Okay, Patrick.
Yeah, I was thinking when that came up, and yes, I didn't see, I didn't watch those, the Grammys. I don't kind of I don't usually watch that sort of, you know, awards thing, but I had seen on Telegram and a couple other, you know, things, this, there is some pretty satanic stuff happening there. But I'd like to go back to what Andrew was talking about, because at the very verse that he brought up is what came into my mind. And that is in John 4:23. He said, you know, he said, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. And I think that a couple things come to mind as I'm thinking about this, and that is we are in an environment of the world now, in Christianity, that there is a form of godliness, but that which denies the power. So let's just say within that environment, there's also two distinct sections, categories, shall we say, of Christianity, and that is, you know, the spirit-filled section of Christianity. It's more charismatic, speaking in tongues and believing in the gifts and believing of the, you know, in the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, etc. And then there's the more legalistic side of Christianity that, believes that, you know, does not believe in that, shall we just say. They kind of have the opposing view of everything that the first group has. And of course, both perspectives are a stench in God's nostrils, because he came to bring the two perspectives together in one. Obviously each side, each perspective has its strengths. And then, of course, it has its weaknesses, because it discounts or opposes the opposite point of view or perspective. And both sides are the same. So therefore, and you could take that verse that worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, which is, and, you know, the, what's the word I'm trying to think? It's the emphasis on the spiritual input from God, and it's our spiritual input to God in that form of worship and adoration, which is absolutely essential. But there's also that section of truth, and that our hearts can be, shall we say, can overemphasize the spiritual giving, receiving, and on the gifts, so to speak, but lack the input of the truth, or having it founded solidly on the specific word, you know, the word of God, the truth of God. Both have to be there. Obviously, in the side of Christianity that focuses on the truth, I'm just going to say generally focuses on the word, the truth. with the absence of the Holy Spirit, they tend to focus more on that to the point where, well, I won't say that. I'll stop right there. But there's that imbalance that's already there in our Christianity. And unfortunately, I've kind of seen that come out in the worship music that, you know, hit on YouTube or whatever. And a lot of it is lacking truth. And that may not be, it may be based upon certain aspects of truth, but it's so lacking in, say, in the words or in the things that are said that it can be very easily taken as a world, emotion for, my boss giving me what I need from work or whatever. It can be misconstrued as to the meaning of the song or whatever. So I see that happening within the worship music. The other thing is that a lot of there's a tendency that to think that just because somebody is a worship leader or is a musician and is out in front of an audience or that sort of thing, that there's a tendency to automatically connect maybe wisdom or, you know, maybe they know what they're doing or they're ahead of the game or whatever it would be. In other words, there's a tendency to think they're really prepared for what they're actually doing when they, in fact, could just be very good musicians. If you look at, you can go to school for leading worship and worship music, and there's a whole process in it. You know, there's, you know, things you can do and things you don't do, and there's, it's like the preaching a sermon that you can learn in the schools. You can be taught to do certain things the certain way and create a very nice emotional worship service. And that is, it is beneficial. It's not like you, that it is evil. You know, there are things in music that you bring through, but the point is, if it's absent of the truth, or lacking that foundation in it, then it's disturbing to me when I notice it. And I think a lot of other people have noticed it as well. There was a comment, even by an old teacher that used to, that I used to listen to, and it was kind of a good friend of, well, it was a good friend of mine. He would come to our church, but he would never sit in the worship service beforehand, because every one of the songs that we sang, he had this feeling that there was nothing of any substance in them. They were all just repetition. He called them barn songs. It was, you get into a phrase and you just repeat the phrase, 20 times, and you feel stronger about it, and you shed a tear or whatever the thing would be. You try to create the emotion of the thing just simply by repeating the phrase or whatever. And it loses all context of truth. So anyway, that was just kind of the feeling that I've had in listening to some of the praise songs as well. On the other hand, what Rihanna is saying, you know, should we just throw the whole thing out? I kind of tend to take them song at a time myself. Even if someone should, I don't know, that's probably a catchy subject there, you know. I'm like, you have to kind of walk in the spirit, I guess, and I know that there is good worship music, and whether a person that writes that music and plays that music, if that person were to turn away from God later on in his life or her life or whatever, does that make the song that they originally had bad? It's kind of one of those things that probably needs further discussion. But I tend to just take it song by song. And my own personal experiences, I've had songs that I really liked the tune and the song itself. But I've had to just kind of can that song and send it on down the road simply because of some of the, I won't say lack of truth, but actual incorrect doctrine that it was spouting. And I kind of have a hard time supporting that sort of thing, even if the tune is good. So anyway, I think that's all I have to say about it.
Okay. That rises some questions, but we'll talk about it later. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yep. So Rion was talking about worship and what it means to worship, right? To bow down. And so, it really made me think of Matthew chapter 4. You know, remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes hand in hand. And I'll read a little bit to you, kind of just the parts where he is tempted. And it says here in chapter 4, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. And a tempter came and said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become bread, right? But, you know, and then Jesus answered. And then again, he said this, then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands shall they bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then the last one he says, and again the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, what does each, and I thought about this, I have opened the Bible to Matthew chapter 4 on so many occasions, so many times, like beyond number, at least 10, right? That's a lot for me. So, and I asked the Lord, well, Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? He's given me a lot of different revelations out of this. Because I have read it and not understood at times. But think about that. So the bread. If he turned that stone to bread, you know, the serpent's a very subtle beast. Think about worship music. Very subtle, right? I imagine it does look like an angel of light, right? But to pick up a stone of bread, he would have to bow down, right? He would have to bow down subtly. Okay. And then at the pinnacle of the temple, he said, throw thyself down. Because he would have to bow down yet again in a sense of falling down beneath Satan. Because remember, Satan brought him up there with him. Okay. Well, Jesus is just amazing. So amazing. On to him the whole time. And 40 days of no food, man. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can imagine that a person's flesh, their knees may be buckling just because of the sheer strength they need to stand. But now we know that he had strength from God. We know that. And he was, and here's the thing. And on the third time, because he couldn't trick Jesus to say, well, bow down subtly, because how many times, and I could speak to myself, have I accidentally bowed down and give way to Satan, not meaning to, and something ignorant, something that I didn't say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. It wasn't like I was voluntarily trying to do this or make an act of reverence or worship. But Satan the third time just said, hey, look, I'll give you all this if you just bow down and worship me. That's what he said, right? But Jesus knew, man. Jesus knew to pick up the stone of bread would require to bow down and pick it up. Now, there's more to that, too. To throw yourself off the temple to prove the point. Because think about how many of these, worship leaders have been on the pinnacle of the temple. They're on the stage. And how many times have they cast Jesus down? They have cast Jesus down many a times. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He didn't fall to bow down to Satan, to be tricked. He was not tricked. And so it's interesting when it comes to worship. Sometimes I have, with worship music, I don't want to seem judgmental. I love good worship music, just like anybody. Sometimes in my spirit, I don't feel right about certain people's, singing it. I just don't know what it is, but I'm like, man, I just don't feel right about this one. And, I don't know if it's because they're wearing skinny jeans, but no man should ever wear skinny jeans. Okay. Note to self, right? There's a problem there. Thank you, Matthew. You get it. I mean, these guys are just too trendy. Enough of it. So anyways, but look, in all seriousness, I had two dreams of music. One included David Eels, and this was very awesome. I got rebuked in this dream, but that's okay because I can share this with you, and it's for all of us. I was listening to even instrumental music some time ago. This was like, this was probably like 2020. And because I just couldn't listen to music with words because everybody's got such a twisted, reason why they write it, right? And I'm not talking about Christian music. I'm talking about any other music. I'd listen to instrumental music, but then my mind would get carried away and I would think about stupid things. I'd think about vanity, whatever it might be. And I remember I had this dream where I was looking up at the sky and there was this instrumental music going on, but it was like enlightening, kind of felt good. And I told David, I said, David, if you listen to this song and just think about heaven and think about God and just think about, I said something and he goes, Isaac, and he goes, that music causes you to get carried away in your mind. And he goes, basically saying, just worship God. Don't let it carry you away because it was happening. Because typically what I would do is I would try to think, but I wasn't really fully in the mind of Christ always. And then I would drift off, right? So that's something that I thought was really interesting that the Lord showed me and gave me a dream to say, Isaac, yeah, I do see your mind drifting here. And I'm not saying you can't listen to instrumental music. That is not a law. I'm just making a point about a dream the Lord gave me. Please, I really mean it. And then I had a second dream about music another time. And this one was actually a secular singer, a guy named Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know if y'all know him. I really don't know much about him. I just know he was like one of the world's greatest guitar players, if not the greatest, but that's all. Who really knows, right? Anyways. So I don't really know his songs. I don't really know anything, but I would pick like little licks to play on my guitar to learn how to play, to get a little more rhythm or a little lead playing. Well, what happened is I had a dream and the Lord was telling me, you don't need to listen to this guy's music or learn how to play it. Because in this dream, I was at a concert and Stevie Ray Vaughan was there and it was a concert full of children and he'd come out to play the guitar. But when he came out, all these children rushed over and like gathered around the stage and he took his guitar and started swinging at all the children. Now, all these were young, healthy children. He was swinging his guitar out and trying to knock them off stage. But he seen this one kid who was in a wheelchair and he grabbed that kid and hugged him. It almost seemed in a dream like, oh, that's real sweet, right? You would think that way if you're looking in the flesh of the dream. But he grabbed a hold of him and just hugged him like he cared about him and took him behind stage. But what happened was he captured the kid who can't walk uprightly. And that's what the Lord's trying to show me in a dream. Isaac, you be careful now, because these music and these especially secular music, they capture the ones who can't walk uprightly, the ones who are feeble. And that's what the Lord showed me. And you know, I was never able to play or even try to listen to what Stevie Ray Vaughan does. I just don't know. But that's okay. But thank God for it. And I don't mean to say that, you know, I know we're talking about worship music here, but it's just interesting because it's dreams about music. But anyways, Matthew 4, I always thought it was super interesting. He didn't bow down and he wasn't tricked into it. And worship music can do that, especially if they're having words of acknowledging the curse. But anyways, that's all. Thank you. That's right, Andrew. Cotton picking kids.
Amen. That was good, Isaac. Thank you. That was very informative. Go ahead, Samuel.
Hi. Sorry. I just want to share a testimony.
Yeah, go ahead, Tiana.
Thank you. A while ago, the Lord opened our eyes to see that about 95% of the music we were listening to was not being sung from the Holy Spirit. And most of our music was people singing psalms and scripture. And that's what most of it was all different psalms. And the Lord just showed us that the spirit that was singing through them was all different sorts of demons, and that we were being defiled because those spirits were getting on us because of them singing. And although it was scripture that they were singing, the Lord, he wanted us to delete it. And it was really hard. It was really hard. It took us a while to fully get rid of all the ones, because we were like, oh no, Lord, we love this one. And
we prayed.
But we prayed, yeah. And we literally got about 95% of them all gone. We've only got maybe 10 left out of hundreds of songs. And the Lord will put it on our heart, because we really loved hearing all of our brethren sing at the worship local, and that's the best music we can get in the physical. And Samuel has been going through and just editing the songs that the brethren sing into individual MP3s, and that's what we've been listening to. That's 95% of our music is the brethren singing, like, just from the YouTube. And that's just been blessing us so much, because we know that those brethren are our real family, and the Spirit of God is in them, and they're chasing after the Lord, and the Lord's growing in them more and more every day. And we know that it's really the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And it's been such a blessing since we've changed our music to listening.
And also, we don't know these people who sing, these commercialized people. We don't know them personally. But we know each other here. We see each other's faces. We interact with each other. We can sense in the spirit and feel that we are driven for the Lord. And if our brethren at the local sing these songs, they use the lyrics, that's fine. But they're singing from their heart for the Lord. And that's what we relate to. And that's what we're emphasizing. We don't know their character, but we know the nature and character in everyone here is Jesus. So glory to Father in Jesus' name. And that's what we're just saying. And that's our testimony there. We just wanted to clean the house, you know, and ears is like the window to our soul is the eyes, but what can shut the ears? You have to put your fingers in there, but like, what is your action doing so? So if you're convicted of something deep down saying, our Holy Spirit saying, he's telling you there's something not right here. Well, that's where we got to pray and be sure. And he can give you the gift of discernment there and then, or ask a brethren, like, ask someone about it. So praise God. Glory to Father in Jesus' name. We love you all.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. Go ahead, Biz.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, guys.
This verse came into my head when my dad started speaking. It's the first couple of scripture verses in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your spiritual service, and be not fashioned in according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. So this came to my head. This is the true worship that we should be doing. This is something that is this repentive mind of getting out of ourselves and into God, where we're falling forward unto God, saying, change my ways into your ways, and renewing our minds into your mind. And we can't be fat, and these worship leaders or these worship singers, they're doing the complete opposite. They're conforming to that image of the world, when really it's supposed to be the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. And it's just that they fall to greed, or they even fall to just because someone was patting them on the back, and they were just like, oh, well, I guess that's okay because my pastor says it's okay. And again, it's all that deception. It's this, we're not supposed to be trying to like look good, but we're supposed to be repentive about it. This is the true worship that our bodies are supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to make ourselves look good, but we're supposed to make ourselves go to our cross. And what better way to bring ourselves to our cross than praising God for all the things that are going in our lives? Anyways, glory to God.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Go ahead, Willie.
I got a bone to pick with this one. Look, anybody who watched those Grammys, right? Those Grammys told you exactly where those people going. That was a strong warning, a very strong warning. You want to act like the world, think like the world, you know, speak like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, and call yourself a worship leader, you're going to end up in hell. That was a whole entire demonstration of worship in hell. False idol, satanic, false Jesus, antichrist worship in hell. Blasphemy, you know, on a high nature was going on right there, because in the temple, when those people came together and they played the instruments and the people started praising, it said the cloud of the Holy Spirit descended down upon the temple. I ain't seen no cloud show up at the Grammys. There was no manifestation presence of the Holy Spirit worship unto God. No one was falling down on their knees repenting from their sins. Nobody. These people walked in, you know, ate from the table of devils while worshiping God at the same time. How do you do that? That's insanity. You know what? This scripture came. I was looking up bread, Isaac. And it says in here, now them that are such, we command. Now, I'll put this in here. Now them that are worshipers, such we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. When you're worshiping, you do it with quietness, you know, eating the bread that you have been given from the Lord, wherewith you will worship him, where you are strengthened to worship him, where you are fed and led, you know, and nourished by him, that brings forth this worship. It creates a quietness. It creates a meekness. It creates an exhortation toward God, a holiness, holiness of living, holiness of living. That whole entire Grammy Award was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And these people went there, you know, under the command of devils. You think they didn't? Okay, let's go back. And the tempter came and said unto him, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He told Jesus to command. And so what he was saying was, you know, Jesus, follow my commandment and tell these stones to be made bread. So you go to a so-called Christian music producer and they say, follow my commandment and let's worship and worship this way. But the word says, but, you know, we want to be able to deliver it in the way in which everyone can receive it. And if we're just a bit too strict, you know, but if you just command these stones to be made bread this way, you know, you'll be able to reach out and touch. Man, come on. Come on. This is not a game. You know, this was a very strong warning to all Christians. You know, this is where you're going to end up. This is the fellowship that you have right now. This is the fellowship that these so-called Christian movie producers have led you into. It was like they were in the bowels of hell trying to sing about Jesus. Absolutely no power, no exhortation, no acceptance of God. But man, when you had all these other people up there, you know what? The Christians couldn't even light a coal under their butts. Where was the conviction? You know, where was the repentance? Where was? Wow. It was sickening, you know? And so the Lord says, you know, now them that are such, we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. While we worship, that's the way we're supposed to worship, and eat their own bread, their own bread. You know, Christ Jesus, when we worship, you know, we're not worshiping to be seen of men. It's in grace. It's in this quietness. It's in this gentleness. It's in that state in which the, you know, the Holy Spirit can come down, you know. Edify, reprove, rebuke, you know, heal, deliver, restore. He's going to do his work, you know. But now that you got all these people out here, they get up there on that stage, you know, they lack knowledge. A lot of them lack knowledge. But you got the devil saying to them, command that these stones be made bread. And so you follow his commandment. When he said to Jesus, command. He was telling Jesus to follow his commandment. It was more, it wasn't just, you know, command these stones to be turned bread because you're Jesus and you got all power and you can command anything to do. No, it was Jesus, I want you to obey my commandment and command these stones to be made bread. And I just found that when Satan said command, it made me think of the so-called music producers out here that's making Christian music today. I can't judge them all, but I can tell you this. They're telling you command that these stones be made bread, you know. And so you got these people who are out here in the wilderness, you know, that are hungering, that are thirsting, you know, that are looking, you know, and instead of you giving them angels' food, so the message of Jesus Christ, you know, through quietness and meekness, through the bread that Christ gives us, you know, you give them this, they turn around. And because you follow that commandment from Satan, you know, they say, oh, this loathsome bread. You know, you make the bread of Jesus Christ loathsome. And where they think that it's supposed to be the Lord and his worship and his glory, you know, you made this bread, which should have been the true bread, you know, loathsome, you know, before their ears, loathsome before their eyes, you know, loathsome in their hearts. And they blaspheme God. And you saw them dance and praise the evil one. You know, oh, what you saw was just how a great falling away happened. How it happened. A little compromise. You know, a little folding of the arms, a little rest and a little slumber, and your destruction shall come upon you as an unarmed man. But man, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I'm done. I won't go beyond that.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, there's a verse that says that freely you have received, freely give. And you're supposed to freely give your worship, not to charge for it, not to make money off of it. Do you want to get paid for your prayers? Do you want to get paid for Thanksgiving, for thanking God? But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're early in Christianity, you can find a really wonderful song that touches you. And it could have been in a church in your past or something, you know, like Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. No, it's repetitive, but I like that song, and I still worship him that way. And I think of the Holy Spirit to come and fall afresh upon me. And when I first heard something, when you first hear something different, or you never heard anything like that before, you know, it has an effect on you. So. But it's God that gives the effect, because you're worshiping him and you're asking of something from him, like a prayer, you know. And a lot of worship songs are like prayers, you know. And sometimes people are just giving a generic testimony, you know, like what God did for me, you know. And they're giving a testimony of how they came to the Lord, but it's generic. It's like everyone has to go through this experience, so they're singing about that, you know, that you have to have your Cornelius experience when God comes and tells you to send for the apostle, you know. So you know, God dwells in the praises of his people, but you know, sometimes if you don't know where his people are too, you know, I just, you know, don't want to put a bad frame of anyone listening on who's just come to the Lord, you know, because a lot of the stuff that is out there, you know, you could have a person who just didn't have any really background in church or anything, and or the background they had is completely different. When they hear something new and they think about it, it's good for them too, you know. And and you don't know whether this one who's singing it is just a brand new Christian, you know. So there's a lot of variables here we have to think about too, you know. So you know, there are predestined people that are going to be called and are going to grow real quickly. That's what God can do. And this is something we have to look at too when we discuss the worship thing, because the worship thing is sometimes the first place a person can have contact with the Lord too. And for anyone who didn't watch it, you know, because I didn't watch it, I'm just trying to say something in favor of worship for people who are just starting out too. And that's the way I'm putting that. So glory to God for that anyway. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Well, I guess it's a little something. Like it's more about just like secular music and how bad it actually is. There's a lot of like making fun of Christianity in the secular world, Like, there's this rapper called Kendrick Lamar, and he did the whole, he was on a cross and everything. There's another Jewish rapper. He has a bad stage name, so I don't want to repeat it. But he also did it, and it's kind of like just making fun of Jesus. And it's they're openly just making fun of, like, our Lord, you know, our God. And it's quite, when I first saw it, it was quite enraged in my heart to feel that, because it's just like, you know, that's my God, that's my friend, that they're, that'd be like someone making fun of your dad. You can't really do anything about it. It's very it was just disgusting. And then I just read this in Jeremiah the other day, Jeremiah 6 and 13. I don't know if this applies to secular people, but from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them. So that can be also kind of like how Christians are today. Because there's another Christian pastor. I forget his name. I think his name's Jason Todd or something. He's part of the Transition Church. That's what his church is called. And his Easter sermon was not even close. It was very provocative, like saying like girls dancing. I'm like, this is church? I couldn't even watch it anymore, because it was so provocative. I didn't want to look at that stuff. And this is the times that we're in now. It's so eye-opening. Like back when my dad was my age, you'd never see anything like this. People would do these things behind closed doors. And now they're doing it in church. And it's just kind of like eye-opening. Like, do you have no shame? Do you even know what you're doing? Do you have any self-respect? You know? Not that I'm talking about, edifying yourself, but there's no shame at all for people. You know, they don't see their sin. It's just a, blows my mind.
Amen. All right, anyone else? I think it's incumbent upon all of us when you request a song, make sure you have asked the Lord about it. And if you do that, you can't go wrong. I remember years ago, a guy that was associated with one of the guys here went up into heaven, and he said that one of the favorite songs up there was the Revelation song, and that was a good song. I always enjoyed that. Still do. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Julie.
I was just sitting here listening and thinking about everything, what everyone's saying, and just the word that the Lord gave Debbie about last Thursday and everything. And I don't remember all the songs, but what I took from that word and how, you know, I was that night, you know, it was just, you know, we worship the Lord from our heart, and of the songs that we are singing with our heart, we're blessing heaven, you know, that they were, that, you know, that they were, you know, just I can't even remember all what the word was, you know, just the expression that I got from that was that the Lord was really pleased with our worship because it came from the heart. And I think that we do have to seek the Lord about the music. You know, if we're singing and we understand what the words are and what they mean, and, you know, we can all be deceived, you know, but I just really think that, you know, if it's from the heart and we're really praising and worshiping the Lord from our heart, he sees that. But we do need to be discerning about where the music came from. Any spirits attached to it, the Lord will show us. And we don't want anything, you know, to defile our temples. So that's just all I wanted to share, is that the Lord was pleased with our worship. And there's just a lot of good things shared tonight. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah, what he wants us to do is to press in our praise and worship, to get our focus upon him more so than ourselves and, you know, what's going on. He wants us to keep our eyes on him. When you do that, he's pleased. He's told us that over and over again in the local. You know, press in, press in, press in, press in more, press in more. And when we do, he gives us good encouraging words. And as far as the music goes, I know that demons are imparted by wicked people. And people that are seeking the world's favor is not good. There are artists out there that are real good musicians, but they have sold out to the world. And those are the ones that we need to steer clear of. All right, anyone else? I could sit here and name you some from the past that were real good. I love their voices and their music, but they sold out to the world. They want that money and that notoriety instead of wanting God to encourage it. When God encourages you, it's a whole lot better than the world encourages you. But we're talking about the God of the whole universe. He's the biggest thing that's ever come across the pipe, because he made the pipe. Amen. Go ahead, Willie.
Okay. Yeah, I can. I like to give an example, because I was like, oh man, we're going to talk about worship music today. And I was like, oh, let me worship on the porch for an hour, you know, before we get together, you know, get in the spirit. Had a neighbor sitting across from me across the street. And I'm trying to play, I'm trying to worship. And I'm like, oh God, what if I sound bad? This woman's just right across from me staring at me. And so I start trying to play so that it's more appealing to the person hearing across the street. Yeah, what a dummy I am, right? Wasted most of my worship time trying not to embarrass myself, because I was embarrassed over the fact that if it doesn't sound good, if it's not appealing to the person who's listening across the street, if I mess up, you know, there was all this interference, you know, And I wasn't receiving and worshiping. I just could not get in the spirit because I was trying to not appease God, but appease the person who was sitting across the street listening to me. Because usually when I play, I like to play by myself. You know, I've heard people say, oh man, your stuff is amazing. I get so embarrassed playing in front of people, you know, so I get music fright, just like a person gets stage fright, you know. But I did not enjoy that worship as I could have, you know, until I got to that, you know, where it was just like, why don't you just close your eyes? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to need to do something because this is going nowhere right now. And so I closed my eyes and I started playing. And, you know, there was that clarity. The person disappeared. You know, I was no longer playing not to, playing for that person. I was playing for the Lord. And then how I should play came back to me. How the Lord taught me how to play came back to me. I was systematically following, you know, this is how you play music. This is how you play music. This is how you play music. When I closed my eyes and forgot about her, it changed. And it went back to how the Lord taught me how to play, you know, and its uniqueness and its intricacy. The Lord has a beautiful way, you know, doing things his way. And then I had that quietness in me. I had that separation unto God in me, playing for him. And I feel so bad for these people who join these industries because that's where they end up at. You know, that same, the audience, you know, how to best appease the audience, you know, how best would the audience receive it? Why are you even thinking about that? You know, you're just supposed to be up there in meekness and in quietness, you know, worshiping God. You know, you should be more concerned about who you are speaking to than what's the best hot sauce to put on a meal. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, you lose it. You lose the glory of God when you are trying to appease the audience when all you're supposed to be worshiping is God. You know, and the Lord will take care of the audience. Because in the end, you know, you're all supposed to be worshiping together. And the music and stuff and the nice voices are just accents. You know, it's like hearing a person talk like, oh, you got a nice accent. You know, the Lord doesn't hear differences in the voices. He hears the heart of worship. And so I just wanted to share that part because I found that interesting that, you know, I did the same thing, you know, that if I was, you know, people who get caught up in this, what they call the music industry, just with one person across the street listening to me. But yeah, I'm done.
Amen. We do that a lot, you know. You ever been in a fellowship and you watch to see if somebody's watching you? Same thing. Looking at me. I hope ain't nobody looking at me. Lord God, who cares? It's God that you're trying to please. And he wants that reverential praise coming up to him. I think it's just going to get better and better and better until it's best. Whoa, Lord God. We look at you all on Fridays, Michael. Well, why? Okay. Yeah, well, that's true. And the reason we did is because we want everybody to partake. of the meetings as well. And to enter in also. That's what that's for, is to enter in as well. And I know some of you do, if not all of you. Thank you, Jesus. What you doing, Benita?
Oh, am I doing something? Sorry. Oh, I'm not muted. I'm going to pick up Nick and push the button by mistake.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. We were listening. Well, I've got another one, Ben. Actually, we're going to have, after the meeting tonight, I would like for Julie and Samuel and Tiana and Rion, if he's still in here, to join with me after the meeting. The way I'm going to do it, well, I'll tell you after we get off. Okay. Anybody else want to talk about praise and worship, or do you have a prayer request? How about I just pray? Father God, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you lead us and guide us into the praise song that you want us to pray, to play, and to praise with. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that from now on we're going to have songs and musicians that are that love you and want to praise you in the most holy way. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to be done from this point on. We're not just going to throw things up there because I got a good beat. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, and I'm very grateful to you that you got Hezekiah Walker as a holy man. Because I love that song he does. Thank you, Lord. Lord our God. All right, anybody else? All right, you might have got something you want to talk about. You got 5 minutes. Yeah, Patrick.
Just a quick question. You mentioned that you had questions about what I said.
No, I didn't say that.
So that raised more questions than.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you want to elaborate?
I think it was actually brought out in the meeting tonight, so I didn't. That's the reason I haven't said anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it was dealt with. Everything was dealt with, that I thought. What I was looking for is exactly what Willie was talking about. And that is when you associate yourself with the ungodly, that ungodliness is coming on you too. The word is very explicit on your associations. And when we get caught up in the world and stuff like that, I've seen it destroy people's lives because of it. And I've seen like we talked about earlier, I've seen what bad people playing music can do. It can send demons out. And those demons are the demons that are very infectious. Very infectious. And it's not a good thing. Go ahead, Rion.
I have a prayer request.
Yeah.
What we spoke about today. We as a family are trying to worship together as a family. We have been for a long time, but we're all amateurs, right? And the kids are learning little instruments and singing along. And it's been something the Lord's been putting on my heart for a long time is to help lead my family in family worship. Now, family worship for us is a lot broader than just singing and praising together. It's It's serving each other. It's reading the word together. It's, you know, when we clean the house together, all of that is worship to the Lord, right? But specifically for when we're singing together, my prayer request is that the Lord would work in the children's hearts and ours for what we spoke about tonight, because they like the songs that are, you know, more popular, I suppose, or as they call it, funky. You know, they like the ones that's got the tunes and all the sounds and all the music, and you know, they prefer those ones, and that's okay, because we try and sing and play along to that, because we're not that proficient yet where we can always do the songs alone. We're trying to practice some of the songs without the music, and it's just us singing. But my prayer is that the Lord would put it in each one of us and in the children to make this music or praise or sing to Him, and not worry about what it sounds like or if someone's got it wrong or what is fun or popular. You know what I mean? Just have it that they would enjoy just making the music to Him, because we try and do it as often as we can. We do it all the time. That it wouldn't be a chore, and that they would love it, that it would be a love for them to praise the Lord and want to sing and not worry about what others are thinking of each other or what it sounds like or anything like that. Hope that makes sense. We're not trying to be a band, right? We're trying to just give what the Lord's given us, the time He's given us, but let it be a blessing and an honor to Him and not to ourselves.
Amen.
It's really something they're struggling with, so I would appreciate prayer for that.
Okay, Lord, you heard his prayer requests, and we thank you, Father, for doing that for them, that they all come together in Christ in these praise and worship sections, and that everything that they do would be geared toward a family unity in you, everything that they do. And Lord, it is a good lesson for all families to do just that, every job, everything that you do, just have praise and worship during those times, or even work, to be in unity and praise together. And Father, I praise you that you're going to do that for Breon and Claire, Mika, Tabitha, and Daniel. And I thank you for it. And not only them, but everybody else that wants to do that in their family, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. It is done because the angels have been sent out to make sure it's done. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I agree.
Okay. Well, Lord, I thank you for tonight's meeting, outreach, fellowship. I thank you, Lord, that this word goes out and that it's a blessing to everybody that listens to it. And I praise you, Father, that we put the things that we've heard tonight to heart, and that every time that we come together, that it's like a big praise every time. And I praise you, Father, for the love you place in our heart for each and every one of us. For each other as well. Lord, place it in our hearts to keep praying for each other. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right, saints. Good night.